Happy Easter, everyone, or happy Resurrection Sunday, if you prefer.
I always enjoy
whenever we have a time where we have fellowship before, you know. Not that I love being in the kitchen, but got to be in the kitchen sweating over some pot and all that. Nothing dripped in the food. You're good. You know, but just the fellowship that goes along with it is just wonderful. It's a beautiful morning. I'm not a big fan of winter anymore. As I get older, I like it less and less. But what it does is really make me appreciate nice days, you know, and it's just a beautiful day. It's nice to see all of you here. I don't recognize all the faces, which is really cool. I'm Bruce, so now you all know me. That's about all there is to know. And it's really good to have you here. I've been privileged, I don't know, multiple times to speak on Easter. And a lot of times I'll look back to see what I've done before, and I didn't do that because I was just really compelled to move beyond it, if that makes sense. I'm sure there's a lot of messages about He is risen, so I'll just make the statement. You know, God had a masterful plan, okay? It was a perfect plan. It was a game-winning plan. We win, it's over and done with, okay? If that's not enough for you to celebrate, then you don't understand it. Because that alone is enough to eternally celebrate. And actually, that alone is what gives you the opportunity to eternally celebrate. So what did He do? He came and He died on a cross. What did that do? For anyone that believes, anyone that receives, He sets you free from sin. Those things which chained you down, those things that were a burden upon you, He liberated you from once and for all. Live free. Amen. But that's not where He stopped. See, it was an awesome plan. See, I don't think the devil was that thrilled to see Him hung on a cross, but he was thrilled to see Him put in the grave. See, but God's plan is He didn't stay there. So the good news today is what, as we celebrate Easter, is that He rose. What does that mean for you? It means you can raise. It means if you believe in Him, if you've accepted Him, the grave is not your end. It's just a passing through. It's a point of celebration towards eternity. Some of us are at the age we'd like a new body. When you know Jesus, the grave is a celebration. So in this place, you've heard us talk many times about living beyond the cross. So for Easter, I don't want to talk about that He rose. We know He rose. You're here because He rose. If you don't know Him, guess what? Get to know Him. If you haven't given your life to Him, guess what? Give your life to Him. I cannot express how much freedom there is in knowing Jesus. I cannot express how much life there is in giving your life to Him. If you haven't done it, you're missing out. Don't leave here today missing out. But I want to talk about living beyond the grave and what Jesus showed us before He left this earth. And I had promised myself I wouldn't be long, but at this point I really don't care, so I'm going to take whatever time I need. And don't leave. Don't leave. I believe the Lord has something in store for you after I'm done. I'm sure He has something in store for you while I'm done, if you'll listen to Him and tune me up. Because really the most important one speaking is Holy Spirit. If He isn't talking to you, there's no point in listening. So that's what I'd like to talk about. So if you'd go with me to Luke 24, we're just going to talk about a little story of Jesus. Heavenly Father, you are so good. I just pray that every person here would have their ears tuned to hear your voice. And I pray that every heart and every mind would be open to receive from you today, because you want to touch your people. We bless you. We give you glory. We give you honor and praise, for in you it is fulfilled. In you it is complete. And it is in you that we can rest. And I thank you for a divine rest. Father, help us to be hearers and doers for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So I just want to look at Luke 24. This is, I know Brenda spoke about the road to Emmaus and touched on some really good points in that, but I want to look at what Jesus did before he took off. You know, what did he do? I don't hear it talked about a lot. We talked about all the things he did while he was on earth, but what did he do before he left? See, I don't know about you, but like some people, maybe most people, they're going to go on a trip or something, they like prepare, right? And they do all the things they need to do so they can leave. I want to say to you that Jesus did all the things he needed to do so he could leave, so you could live. So what did he do? Luke 24, starting in verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet, and while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" Man after our own heart. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are the witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity in Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and he was taken up into the heavens. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. So I just want to break apart this a little bit. There's a lot here, but for those of you that don't know me, I'm very simple in my approach to the gospel. I think there's so often confusion presented in ideas, so I like to break it down. God does me favors. He makes things really simple, bite-sized, so I can get it. So that's what I want to do here. I just want to pull out a few things that everyone will see, so there can be no question about it. This will make sense. Okay? It's not a mystery that you have to unravel. It's really simple, and you're going to get it. First point I want you to understand. He said, "Peace be with you." Now, I know we understand the concept. I don't know that we fully understand how to live it out in our lives.
John 14, 27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you." That alone could preach for eternity if you understand what he's given you in peace. I don't know what your days look like. I know every day, as I start my day, I pray that I would live and dwell in his peace. Why? Because this world can get to us. It can rattle us. It can get us in our minds. It can get us, you know, emotional. It can just wear on you. We can allow it to just weigh us down. You know what the peace of God does? It makes us rise above life. It makes us see from a heavenly perspective. Oh yeah, that's today's problem and tomorrow's coming. It's not really that big of a deal. Especially if I look at it through the eyes of eternity. Peace. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way." Peace. Today I want you to have peace. I want you to apprehend peace. I want you to comprehend peace. I want you to know the Lord of peace so that you'll walk out of here in peace. And wherever you go, no matter what the chaos looks like, you bring peace and the situation changes because you have peace in you. Before he left this earth, he gave you his peace. Peace is the word is irene. It's when all essential parts are joined together. It is basically God's gift of wholeness to you. You won't feel disjointed. You won't feel short. You'll feel fulfilled. You'll walk satisfied. You'll know you have more than enough. Nothing life presents you will rattle you. Why? Because you can rest in the peace he has given you. Before he left, after he rose, he gave you peace. If you don't know the peace of God, you don't know God. You say, that's a bold statement. I know. I can do that sometimes. I have the mic, so you get to hear it. Really, there's been plenty of my times I didn't know peace because I didn't know God. I misunderstood. I tried to figure things out my own way instead of leaning on his understanding, leaning into him instead of thinking I had to have everything figured out. If you know God, you'll rest in his peace. I invite you to do that today. What else did he do? I like this part. Those that don't know me, know or will know right now, I go on lots of cruises. Of course, lot is a relative word, right? For someone that's never gone on one, I go a lot. For someone that's gone on 100, I hardly go at all. But I've probably gone on 20 or so. And I pretty much gravitate every meal. I look for what type of fish they have. And the more types of fish they have, the more my plate is full. Because I love fish. I was raised on fish and venison. Nobody does it better than my mother. I'm sure she's watching. And I don't get it enough, mainly because I'm the one person in my household that cooks it, and I don't take the time to do it. So when I go on the boat, I go for the fish. I thought it was ironic before he left, he went for the fish. It's just confirmation to me the Lord lives in me. Just saying. It says they gave him a piece of broiled fish, he took it and ate it. I can relate to that big time. So Acts 1:4, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. The key word in all this for me is ate and eat. And you say, why? I told you we had a breakfast today. Okay, and thank you for all those people that served. They were here early, making stuff for you and that. Absolute blessing. But it really wasn't about the food. It was about you. See, what made the meal was your presence. You understand, by Jesus saying, give me some food, you know, what you have to eat, it was more about, I want to connect with you. It wasn't about eating a piece of fish. He was placing a principle in our hearts that we are to relate not only with him, but with each other. He left them the concept and the importance of communion, of fellowship, of relationship. His master plan was not only that we would be reconciled to him, but we'd be reconciled one to another for eternity. By simply asking for food, it meant a whole lot more. It's saying, hey, let's be intimate. Let's get to know one another. Let's break bread. Let's find out you chew too loud. You smack your food. You do nice. You know, let's find out these things. We might as well know one another. See, it's such a simple word. And he ate it. He took it and ate it. You know, now, I do really good at that. I do, especially if it's ice cream. I can put on 7 pounds on a cruise just off the ice cream. Boom, just like that. I know it because when I come back, I don't get as much and the weight goes right off. It's all the ice cream. I can eat it, but it's not about that. It's about being with me. When I'm partaking, why? So you see the joy that simple things in life can bring to one another as we fellowship together and enjoy all the things that God has for us. It's time we start enjoying one another. It's time we start enjoying the presence of God. It's time we start enjoying the presence of God when we're together. Eating represents fellowship, communion, relationship, and intimacy. See, it's more than just a meal. We're going to have communion a little later, and I'm going to give some direction for it, but it's more than just juice and bread. It's more than just remembering. See, I expect us to connect with the Lord in our remembrance, but are we going to connect with one another? Because if we didn't, we're short selling him. The days of just coming to church, sitting in the pew and darting out so nobody gets, they're really done. That's not doing church. This has to be a place of connection. It has to be a place that sets everything up for the rest of the week. I mean, I see Dan. The rest of my week, I'm waiting to see Dan on Saturday when we go have coffee together. It really sets the tone for the rest of my week. There's things I'm looking forward to. Why? Because there was a connection. And you never know where the conversation will go. It gets really interesting. Those things happen here. I've had people say, the Lord's telling me to go somewhere else. I say, do you understand what you're saying? You're saying the point of our connection? Mouth severed. Odds are we won't connect because this is where I see you. This is where I connect. This is where I say, hey, can we get together this week? And as you all know, we all get pulled 50 different ways pretty much every day. You don't have that point of connection, you're missing something. We have to be intentional about our relationship. See, it wasn't just about eating a piece of fish.
This next part, I really love this part. It's one of my favorite passages. It's in verse 45. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And I think, how could you be with Jesus for 3 years? I mean, we get one semester in college, we get graded. Did they like get F's all the time for 3 years?
Oh, you failed. You got to stay with me. He told them stories. We call them parables, right? And even would explain it at the end. Here's what it means. And they still couldn't figure stuff out for themselves. So what did he do before he left? Open their minds so they could understand the scriptures.
1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." It's amazing to me how often I don't act like it. Romans 8:6, "The mind governed by the flesh is death." What did he conquer at the grave? Death. "But the mind governed by the Spirit," which is what you have been raised up in Christ into, "is life and peace." So the word "opened" is dianoigo. Means to open fully by completing the process to do so. So what am I saying? There is nothing left for him to do for you to be able to use your God-given intellect and reason to figure things out. You have been given all the mental and spiritual faculty to figure out what you're to do with your life. What God has planned for you, what his will is, what his purposes are. He did it. The mind is nous. It's the God-given capacity to think, reason. It is actually receiving God's thoughts through faith. I love the Lord's game plan. Not only did he make it simple, he basically did it all for you. It's kind of like the kids dance, you know? I'm sure Briley did most of the choreography and stuff, and the kids just got to play. However they played, whether it was to the beat or not, I could, depending on who I looked like, I didn't know which one to do. But it was awesome. See, God's plan is God's plan. He executes it. We get to be a part of the play. And we get to celebrate when he scores. That's his plan. Understanding is suneum. It means to set together. It is joining facts into comprehensive, interlocking whole. So what does all this say? It means he gave us his word. He gave us the ability to open the whole thing up and understand it all from beginning to end. What's our part? Open up and read it. And do it with each other and do it with the Holy Spirit. Great game plan. That's what he did before he left. I haven't even gotten to the best part. These are good. They're really simple nuggets that we can all chew on, but they're good. They're digestible. You can swallow this. You can turn these into nutrients. You can live off these nuggets.
I am going to send you what my Father has promised. How many know that God fulfills his promises? How many of you know if you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, all the promises in this book are yours? So God will fulfill every single promise in this book for you. Do you live expecting to receive the promise? See, there's a book in the Bible in Hebrews where it goes through the Hall of Fame of Faith. And we think, oh, they're just, I don't want to be them. I want to be alive and see the promises fulfilled. I don't need to pass to see them fulfilled. I want to be alive. If I have to live forever to do it, then God's going to have to make me live forever. Well, those promises are mine. I'm going to apprehend them. I want to see them. And we know what happened, because in this part, what he was talking about? He was talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, right? And what did they do? They went and they waited. And the ones that waited got what was promised. And guess what? We don't have to wait for it. See, before he left, he gave them the promises. And the method of getting the promises. Rest in him. Wait on him. Expect him. Start thanking him for the promises fulfilled. See, somebody spoke, I don't know, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, sometime in the past. Right? That day. Saw angels in this place or something. And ever since then, I don't see this place empty. Sometimes I walk in before anyone's here and I'm looking for a seat. I see all of heaven just filling this place. I no longer need a physical body to see it. I just don't. Why? Because his promises are his promises and his promises will be fulfilled. I just need to start living in that reality. Ephesians 1:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Blessing is eulogio. It's to speak or bestow all the benefits of God. So I love this passage, but I'm going to go about it a roundabout way because I want this to be part of the end of me speaking. So I'm going to come back to blessings and go to what the results of all this is in our lives. And there's more. This is not an exhaustive list, but just in this passage, here's what it says. They worshiped him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They stayed continually at the temple praising God. We should live a life of worship. We should live a life full of joy. We should live a life full of fellowship, and we should live a life full of praise based on what he did before he left. Okay, what's that look like? Acts 2, we know this passage. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers together had everything in common. They sold property, possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. See, what he did before he left produces that. Is that what you're experiencing in your life? Then you're not fully living in Him. That's an invitation to fully live into Him. That is not a condemnation at all. Because it's our choice. Sometimes things take our attention away. But He's always there with the invitation to live in the fullness of Christ. See, He did everything you need to live abundantly in Him right now. So I'm going to ask you guys to stand with me. And I'm going to ask all the ministry leaders, the leaders, not the whole team, all the ministry leaders to come forward. All ministry leaders. And you can line up facing the congregation. Okay. Form little teams of two or three, whatever works. We're going to be taking communion, and they're actually going to serve you communion, and then they're going to do exactly what Jesus did before He left. It says this, while He was blessing them, He left them and was taken up into heaven. Now, I want you to understand the power of this. It doesn't say He blessed them and left. It says while. He was bestowing upon all of us the benefits of God. God took him up. What does that say to me? It's not done. He's still blessing. He's still speaking over you. He's still giving you everything you have to need. He's still there providing, appropriating all of heaven's resources for you to live abundantly. He's not finished until we're with Him. Though His work is done. The only question is, will we step into it? So what I'd like us to do as we take communion is come up, grab a cup, grab a cracker, go to a station. Okay? We're all going to take communion together. Before you leave, no one's allowed to leave without my express permission. No. Okay? No. Before you leave, allow them to speak the fullness of God and blessing upon you. Receive a blessing from one another. So please, come, we'll serve communion, we'll do communion together, and then allow them to speak a blessing.